We thank you this morning in the wonderful name of your Son. Father, we acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge your desire also that we may know you more and more. We acknowledge the fact that, oh God, you are teaching us week by week through your word. You are teaching us through any development, even in our secular lives, oh God, that we may see the hand of Christ, that we may know that you are sovereign. Even this morning, help us to understand, help us, oh God, to concentrate as your word is expounded again, oh God. Give us mercy, give us grace as we sit under the teaching of your word. Help us to be a people who have a heart of Christ, a heart of peace, a heart of reconciliation with our friends, with our neighbors, with our enemies as well. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Church of God say amen.
Amen.
Please turn in your Bibles then to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, those who are using the ESV, it is page 810. The title of the message this morning, do not avenge yourself. Do not avenge yourself. We continue on our series of studies in this gospel according to Matthew. Last week, we did see that Jesus was encouraging us. He was teaching us to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with our friends, to be honest with God himself. He has taught us that when we answer, we must not be hypocrites. When we answer, we need to say yes. When the question demands yes, we must also say no when the question demands no. And he says everything or anything that is added unto death comes from the evil one. So we were taught to be honest. So this morning, he continues to teach us to be a people who has a heart of Christ, a heart of mercy, a heart of forgiveness, a heart of peace. And that is what we are going to see. I'm reading from verse 38 to verse 42. That's where we find ourselves this morning. And it reads as following. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone will sue you and take you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who will borrow from you. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. What we realize this morning is that our message, humanly speaking, is not relevant. It is not relevant for the fact that today is the 14th of February. And maybe all the women or the ladies in the house, they are hoping for a message in relation to love, a message in relation to Valentine's. So our message might not be relevant. But it's also not relevant to the fact that our world out there, the people out there, it's not relevant since our culture is in contrary to what we are talking about today. Our culture is in contrary. They are teaching a different idea than the idea of forgiving your enemies. Our culture believes in revenge and mob justice. But I'm saying our title this morning, do not avenge yourself. Listen to this from a different news reports. Listen. 9 people were arrested in Ogwamashu for allegedly taking the law into their own hands by assaulting a group of robbers, leaving one dead. Another article says, a man accused of killing a 14-year-old boy was burned to death by angry residents who then stoned and tossed a police vehicle. That is not all. Listen to this one. A woman was hanging, washing outside her home when a suspect entered her yard and grabbed a lawnmower. Community members attacked the suspect and forced him to lead them to the accomplices with whom he normally works. What you see here is the avenging spirit which many people in our culture, in our community possess. And friends, you might think maybe what I'm saying are extreme cases happening in the realm of unbelievers. But listen to this one. I came across a newspaper saying, listen, Christian retaliate after 3 more churches were burnt in Nigeria. The Christian responded with reprisal. In other words, the Christian responded with an act of vengeance, killing at least 7 people. Christian killing at least 7 people. So as we learn, as we have been learning the way of righteousness introduced by the Lord Jesus Christ in this Sermon on the Mount, there are 3 things I want us to learn this morning. 3 things to help us deal with those who hate us in a biblical way, in a way that glorifies God. The first thing that I think we need to know is that personal revenge is not lawful. Personal vengeance is unlawful. That is what I want us to see here. And of course, as you read these verses, verse 38 and verse 39, you might assume that there is a contradiction here. Other people say that, especially those who are not saved. They say the Old Testament says an eye for an eye in verse 38, quoting the Old Testament. But Jesus says in verse 39, give the other cheek. So, of course, there is contradiction here. But what I want to show you is that that's not what God meant it to be. So let us read verse 38 together and then expound and explain what God meant, looking back from the Old Testament and linking everything together. Verse 38 reads as following. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye. I want us to look at the context of this verse, at the context of where Jesus was quoting this. The statement is from the Old Testament. And we have 3 places to read. The first one is Exodus chapter 21, verse 24. I want us to see there. The Bible says, if you're writing down, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. That's what the Bible says. It looks like God did say an eye for an eye. Then you look at Leviticus 24, verse 20. It says, fracture for fracture, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, whatever injury he has given, a person shall be given to him. So if your enemy injures you in a way, that enemy must also be injured in that way. That's what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 19, verse 21. Your eye shall not pity, it shall be life for life. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And after reading these passages, then we are left with the question, what was this all about? Why would God say these things? How should we understand these passages? Did God really teach that we need to take our revenge when someone hurt us? Is that what God was meaning here? Is revenge a solution in this life? As I was reading for you from the newspapers, you all know what's happening in the township as well. You break in someone's house, the whole community is coming for you. Is that what God said? It was this what God meant when he said an eye for an eye? But as you read these passages, friends, in its context, I want to assure you that God was speaking exclusively to human courts of law. I'll explain that. He was speaking to human courts of law. So what God did, he spoke to Moses that Moses will take this message and give to the state, to the government, if I may use today's words. So in other words, the government was given order and authority by God to exercise capital punishment so that the people may know how to behave. God gave Moses this law to send to the judges of Israel who were sitting to judge the people of God should they do anything that was outside the law of God. God wanted the government to administer justice in the land. Not individuals. This law was not given to individuals to exercise against another individual. This law was given to the court of law. It was given to the state. This was given to Zuma and his government to exercise, if I may use today's words. The government only has the right or had the right under God's provision to exercise justice in the land, not human beings. So the state has to enforce this commandment by the authority of God. So what had happened there, the reason why God will give this law, what was happening in that time is that the people will apply their sinful method of judgment against their enemies. Every time someone hurts you, you come up with a way of revenging yourself. For instance, they will demand an eye for a tooth, a hand for a tooth. So what was happening is that the enemy was determining how revenge should be taken against his enemy. So the judgment that the enemy was passing to another enemy was not equal the crime. It was not equal the crime. For instance, someone jump into your house, break the window, straight to the fridge, steal your meat out there, and the community comes and they stone that person to death or they burn him alive. You can see there, the crime is not equal the judgment that is passed. God was against such a thing. You cannot have someone taking an eye, then you want to take back the whole leg. That was what the people were doing. So they were determining how to judge one another. Exactly like today. Somebody does anything, they put a tire and they burn him alive. So God was restricting. So when the Bible was saying an eye for an eye, let us be clear, it was not giving people a right to take their own revenge. The Bible was giving the government a right to restrict people from sinning to God, because it is a sin to revenge yourself in such a militant and unfair way. It's a sin. Somebody takes your cell phone, you shoot. Those are the things that are happening today. People have sinful desires, want to apply them upon other people. People are revengeful. God says no. The government only has the right to exercise capital punishment to crime, and the government must exercise that crime in an that judgment in an equal way as the crime deserves. An eye for an eye. That was the thing. A tooth for a tooth. Not an eye for a tooth. So the problem was not yet what God had said. The problem was the satanic interpretation of God's word, practice applied by the Pharisees in Jesus' time and before his time. That was the problem. Not what God said, but how the people wanted it to be. What, how the people wanted God, or wanted to use the word of God to protect themselves as they revenge themselves. They would say, God did say an eye for an eye. But actually God said an eye for an eye when only the government is applying such a rule. So what I'm trying to say then, our community, our country is fallen. This is what we do. This is how we retaliate. This is why we revenge ourselves. Because we are a fallen nation. We need the grace of God. We cannot use such words to protect ourselves. Only Satan will encourage people to avenge themselves in this way, not God. That is what we need to realize. So the primary purpose of the commandment then was to restrict people from taking their own revenge. It was to restrict people from sinning because other people have sinned against them. It was to encourage people to give, to forgive other people who have done evil against them. This was encouraging. Forgive them. Let, in other words, the government, let the state play its role. Do not take the law into your own hands. I wish this message can pass to everyone, especially in this country. Do not take the law into your own hand. Because what I'm saying, friends, is in contrary to our, to today's teaching. It is in contrary to today's attitude. You have people today who think they deserve to revenge themselves. They think it is their human right to kill because someone has done something wrong against them. People exercising their violence in the name of justice. We have words like mob justice, township justice, people's justice. The Bible prohibits individuals. It restricts people to take law to their own hands. It teaches us that the state needs to protect people of the country in every way, not individuals taking the law into their own hands. So the reason why God will not then allow individuals to apply the eye for an eye idea to other people is that God knows how revengeful we are. God knows how desperately sick our hearts are. God knows that we are thirsty to shed blood. People are thirsty to do something wrong in this world. So God will not then give such a law to people who are so evil in a way. Remember how Cain killed his own brother, innocent brother? So God will not really give a law like this to people because we are thirsty of doing something. Remember how the people reacted towards the woman caught in the act of committing adultery in John chapter 8. Do you remember how the people reacted? The people were excited. We caught her. Now it's time for mob justice. Now it's time to show the world that we keep the law. We want to stone her. They came to Jesus. Did Jesus allow them to stone her? Jesus did not, because God does not allow people to exercise personal justice against one another. All this is because of the fallenness of the human heart and the bondage in sin. It is because of the careless attitude that people have towards life and towards one another. It is because of the ability for people to carry grudges throughout their lives. So many years, people carry grudges, and at the same time, they're smiling to each other, shaking each other's hands outside there and even in the church, but they're carrying grudges in their hearts. That is what we are. That is who we are. We carry grudges. So that is why God then restricted this to be applied by the state. Just imagine if they give me the right to exercise this kind of justice, what I will do. We are a fallen people. This is telling us that we always needed God to protect us from ourselves. We always need God to protect us from ourselves. This is how God was protecting us from ourselves. Giving us a law and allowing an institution, if you will, to exercise this law against those who would like to do in such a way. What I want you to notice is that, friends, many people have taken the law of God amiss. They misapply what God is teaching. So this Jesus is sitting on the mountain, and his disciples sitting with him, he's teaching them. He says, you have heard. What does that mean? Two things there. You have heard what is written or what God said, but you also have heard what other people said, the interpretation. But this is what I say. We need to go with what Jesus say we need to go with. Because people will do whatever it takes to avenge themselves. Today you hear people say, I will never speak to her again. After she has done this, I will never speak to that person in my life. Friend, that is an eye for an eye. How can a Christian say, I will never speak to another Christian again? That is an eye for an eye. You have these people who feel a sense of triumph when their enemies are in trouble. They create a false theology. They will say, God is answering for me. Friend, God is not answering for you. You are a murderer. Your heart is wicked. You wish something bad to happen to someone else. It is not because God is revenging for you. Do not be happy when you see your enemy in trouble. We will see that as we go through. So what God was teaching here is that when you are hurt, do not hurt back. When you are hurt, do not come to your enemy in a personal way, in a way to avenge yourself. In other words, do not unleash your wrath. Let the law, the government, exercise its right, a rightful right given by God. So if someone breaks into your heart, into your house, you call the police. If someone molests a child, you call police. It is the police's duty to exercise punishment and judgment upon criminals. That is what we need to learn here. So, as I will be moving to my next point, take this with you. God, the God of Christianity, the one and only true God, is not a God of violence. That is what you learn here. God is not a God of violence. God will not allow people to live in violence, to exercise violence against one another. God is a peaceful God. You can see here that God, from the beginning, he was preaching the gospel of peace. Peace with one another. Peace in the land. That is the gospel that God has been preaching throughout. We need to have peace against those who hurt us and do whatever they think it is right against us. And you will see as I go on more about that. Our God is not a violent God. So if you will want to walk with him, you need to be a woman or a man of peace. Unless then, you cannot call yourself a child of God if your heart is a murderous heart. If your heart is a heart that seeks revenge all the time. So friends, let us understand that personal vengeance is unlawful. He gave the state a right to exercise judgment so that we may be law-abiding citizens, so that we may learn to respect other people's properties. We must know that the government is there to teach us all those things. But also the state then need to be reminded. We must know that the state also need to be reminded that God runs the affairs of every nation. So if God gave the state a right to judge, then the state need to judge in a way that God will love them to judge. If someone kills his girlfriend on the 14th of February, shooting her, the law needs to exercise justice right. That is what this is about. The government is liable before God. So we are a sinful country, friends. Regardless of the fact that people are saying we are a Christian country, we do not exercise the law in a fair way. We do not exercise the law all the time to suit what God will want the law to do. We must pray for our government. That is why the Bible says, pray for your government, pray for your leader, so that there may be peace in the land. The law was to protect people from sinning, which is why as Christians we need to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, instead of coming from heaven and exercise judgment and revenge against his enemies, me and you, no. What did he do? He came to this world. He walked among us. He lived among us. He treated us as a people. Went up the road to Calvary. Died for our sin. Dying for the very same people who have been mocking him all the time. Dying for the very same people who hate him. But he died so that we may be reconciled with God. He died that we may learn that there should be peace between man and God. Peace between man and man. Jesus Christ reconciling two enemies and make them one. Bringing God from the other hand. A sinful man from the other hand. Bringing them together. Making them a family. That is what we learn from Jesus as he walked up the cross. Hand up there. Say, it is finished. The chaos of this world, let it be finished through Christ Jesus. We need to see the cross. Only the cross brings peace. Listen to what he said. The Bible said, he said when he was hanging there, instead of calling a legion of angels, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Proverbs 20 verse 22 says, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord. He will deliver you. That is what then the Old Testament was teaching. But we see Jesus referring there and say, but I say. So let us move to the second point. I want to show you in the second point that Jesus actually wants us to be a merciful people. Be merciful to your enemy. Verse 39 to 42. It says, but I say to you, as you are looking at your Bible, it says, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slap you on a cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone will sue you and take your tunic, let him also have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Jesus here is teaching something very special to us. How? Because he's not teaching us in the way that the world teaches us. He's teaching in contrary to the system of today. He's teaching in contrary to how the Pharisees were teaching at that time. He's saying, rather than complaining about petty things in your life, you need not to revenge yourself. You need to show peace. You need to forgive. That is what I want you to see. So he's not changing what the Old Testament was saying when he says, but I say. No, he's actually correcting the misinterpretation that the false teachers, the Pharisees of the time, were enforcing. He's correcting the sinful expectation of man. A man, what does he want? You take my cell phone, I'm going to take something back from you. Jesus is correcting that sinful attitude when he says, but I say. So let us look at the whole of the verses. He says, do not resist the one who is evil. What does that mean? Do not resist the one who is evil. This phrase is actually a direct interpretation, friend, of what God was meaning to say when he gave the law. What it means is that do not revenge yourself. Let me explain to you. This does not mean then that a Christian must be a human punching bag, if I may use those words. It doesn't mean that people must walk over you when they say, do not revenge yourself. This friend is telling us that when the one who is evil does something to you, listen, do not react back in an evil way. In other words, do not use your personal power to stop an evil attempt against you. Do not use your personal power to stop an evil attack against you. You need to possess a Christ-like character, an unrevengeful attitude. Jesus is teaching his disciples different, as I was saying, than this world. This world says an eye for an eye. Jesus says, no, have a Christ-like attitude. Put it in mind. Look at your word. Do not resist the one who's evil. So, as people do something against you, put it in mind that the person who's doing such a thing
is an evil person. Put it in mind. The person who's doing death to you is an evil person. That is why he's doing such a thing to you. But you need to act or counteract that in a godly way. Your response must be a Christ-like response. Do not use force to push him back. Do not use force to stop their evil way. Do not pay evil with evil. Why? Two wrongs never make one right. That is the reason here. So friends, the message is that you need to show mercy. Show mercy to your enemies. Listen to verse 39. He says, turn the other cheek. When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, I need to emphasize again. He doesn't mean that you must stand there and let people assault your wife and advise her, turn the other cheek. That's not what the Bible is saying. It doesn't mean stand there and be passive and do nothing when someone is assaulting you. You can run away. It doesn't mean turn the other cheek means that it is right when people are abusing you. But it doesn't also mean that you need to act back. That is what I'm trying to show to you here. You don't need to be passive. Because friends, if we think that we need to be passive, in other words, we don't have to do anything when people are slapping us, we must just stand there. If that's how you think, then why don't you allow the bank to take your house when you have just missed one payment? When they come to take your house, what do? You call Baba Ras to stand for you as your lawyer. Why don't you say, take the garage as well? You see, that is not what God was saying when he says, give the other cheek. No. He says you need to act in a Christ-like way. You need to show Christianity. You need to show love to your enemy. So Jesus, in other words, my friend, is expecting us to rejoice in tribulation, to rejoice in hope, to be patient, to be constant in prayer, praying for our enemies. Listen to what he says in verse 40 to 41. And if anyone will sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Jesus is not saying if someone take your eye, he has taken something insignificant. So let him take the other eye. Of course, he's not saying that. He's not saying if someone is taking your tunic, it is just a cheap tunic, give him the expensive cloak as well, so that it looks like we are a Christian. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not also saying if someone is forcing you to go an extra mile, go two to show them that you are strong, greater is he that is in you than the devil that is in the world. That's not what Jesus is saying. The first thing you need to know is that the person who's doing such a thing to you is an evil person. You must display the image of the Son of God. And perhaps, why will you do that? Perhaps the person who's doing such a thing might see Christ-likeness in you, and perhaps God will grant that person the gift of repentance through your perseverance. So, friends, when you think about your enemy, think about someone who's outside the kingdom of God who needs to be brought into the kingdom of God. Don't think about your enemy as someone who deserves to be in hell. That is what this is about. Look at your enemy and say, Lord, will you save that man? I want to see him in heaven one day. I want to see him walking the gold streets of heaven with me, shining with glory, saying hallelujah to the Lord Jesus, together singing a new song. I want to see this person saved. You show the image of the Son of God. You treat your enemy with kindness, with love. You teach them the way of righteousness. You leave everything else in the hands of a faithful God. That is what you need to do. Jesus is not saying when someone is chopping your hand, give them the other hand to chop as well. That would be foolish. But show a Christian character. He doesn't say stand there and do nothing. Listen to what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. Listen very carefully. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him. So you're not sitting there. The person sins against you, you go. You do something. You're not saying sin again. slap me on the other cheek. No, you go and tell him what he has done. You tell him his faults between you and him alone. So that's the first thing. You tell him that he's wrong. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two other along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So you're still doing something about it. You're not sitting there and say, you know, God knows, God will see unto it, God will answer for me. You need to show a Christian character. You go there, you speak to your brother. If he does not listen again, you call the church. So friends, what I'm trying to say to you, you need to do something when something wrong is happening to you. We spoke about abuse in marriage a few weeks ago. I told you, if something like that happens and you really think you cannot take it anymore, you need to do something. You need to seek for help, counseling. I did say that the Bible does not allow you to divorce because of abuse. There's no merit in the Bible. What I'm trying to bring again, you need to do something. You need to act like a Christian. You have to do something. Apply the law of love, not revenge. And I'm aware, friends, that there is a battle between applying the law of love and not becoming a human punching bag. Because sometimes you will try to apply the law of love and then you end up becoming a human punching bag. I know there is that battle, but that is a battle we need to go through. So this is a call for us to learn from Jesus. Jesus himself was willing to walk that road to Calvary. There he suffered for us at the hands of evil men. The Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers it was silenced, so he opened not his mouth. Friends, that is what needs to be the mind of a Christian. Be like Jesus. So our courtesy, in other words, our politeness should go beyond the mark. That is what you see here. He slapped you on the right, you give him the left. It means that your politeness must go beyond the mark. We need to go the extra mile to show Christ-likeness. So, don't avenge yourself. Don't avenge yourself against your unfaithful spouse. Don't avenge yourself against your parents for their sin of the past. Some people, they complain. You can see who kumbulekaya. My mother left me. Now I hate her. I grew. Friends, if you are a Christian, you don't pay evil with evil. That is what this is about. You show Christ-likeness. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. He says, as the people were trying to burn our tent, you don't go out there and seek for them to destroy them. No. People have stolen the tent, doesn't mean you look for them and you punish them. Peter says, Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not revile back. That is our Lord. That is our emblem of righteousness. That is the one we must be like. When he was reviled, he did not revile back. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges all things, to him who judges justly. That is what we are called to do. Be like Jesus. Show mercy. Remember that God has showed you mercy as well. Mercy, friends, does not mean weakness. The world can tell you that when you show mercy, is a sign of weakness. Jesus says, when you show mercy, is a sign of godliness. That is what I wanted you to see in verse 39 to 41. Be merciful to your enemy. Lastly, thirdly, be the one who provides for your enemy. Provide for your enemy. Verse 32. Sorry, 42. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who borrows your mule. In other words, once you have shown mercy, on the second point, it doesn't stop there. You go the extra mile. You become the one who helps the person who was actually, the one was unkind.
So in other words, friends, once you become a Christian, you show mercy or you forgive a person, do not expect anything in return. Just as Jesus does not expect anything in return from you. But in other words, you need to actually to go the extra mile and do good deeds. You must do something to help your enemy. Difficult. But Jesus says that is what we must do. Verse 42. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one. So when your enemy is in need, when your enemy comes to you for help, you must be there for your enemy. I know. Perhaps I'm just talking over your heads now. I'm not going to do that. Friends, the word of God says that's what we will do. We're going to help our enemy. The person who burned this tent, if he comes here for help, he seeks for food, we'll buy him food. The person who has taken your husband or your wife, you're going to greet him. If he comes to borrow money from you and you have it, you're going to borrow that money to him. You're going to lend it to him. So again, this message says a revengeful and unforgiving attitude is not a sign of possessing a righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribe. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 19. Listen very careful. Behold, brothers, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So in this verse, Jesus is saying, there is a possibility that as a Christian, you might find yourself more blessed than your enemy. So when people come to you, you will not only help your friends, you will also help those who are not your friends. You will have to be generous to your enemies. You will bless them as God has blessed you. I don't know if we are aware, but let me just tell you, if you watch your TV, if you listen to the news, when two countries are at war, they fight, but there is a time where one country will send food parcel and medical attention to the civilians of the other country. Have you seen that? They are fighting, but they still help other people in that country to have food. So even when countries are fighting, friends, they don't leave their enemies bleeding. They don't leave them behind bleeding to death when the war is over. That is exactly the same principle that God wants us to do. When your enemy is seeking for something, you go out of your way to help your enemy. Do not let your enemy bleed to death at your watch. Difficult, eh? But if you are a Christian, you understand why. You also have been forgiven. A even bigger crime. You sinned against God. You hated the Redeemer. You hated the one who created you. You did not want anything to do with him. Every time the gospel was preached to you, you moved back and you protected yourself in many other ways until God finds you. You didn't find him until he finds you and then open your eyes to show you and teach you the principle of forgiveness and mercy and kindness. Now you need to show that same principle to other people. So Jesus, when he forgave us, he did not leave us under forgiveness. He says, now they are forgiven. He goes over and over to sanctify us day by day. He gives some things to us that we need. In the same way, when your enemy comes to you for something that you possess, you will have to give to your enemy that something that you have. Romans 12, verse 21. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap up burning coals upon his head. In other words, you'll put him under pressure to see your generosity. The Apostle Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the very same message that we get this morning. Do not be overcome by evil. So unlike the Pharisees of the time in our world today, Jesus is teaching here that when you forgive someone, you do not forgive someone to recover any personal loss that you ever had against that person. No. When you forgive someone, you forgive someone to make that someone a friend, a brother, or a sister. That is why church, the church of Jesus Christ, where enemies meet and become friends and become a family. People who hated each other, they become Christians, they are no longer at enmity and war against one another. That's why, even in this country, regardless of the past, black and white can only be reconciled in Christ Jesus. Because the gospel has that power to reconcile enemies. So Jesus says, be not like the Pharisees, who always demand something in return when they forgive you. But go your extra mile and help your enemy. Show mercy. Show generosity. Remember that God himself showed mercy to you. The Bible says the Lord is compassionate to you. He's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always chide. He will not always accuse you of your sin. Nor will he harbor his anger or keep his anger forever against us. That is God. It says, as far as east is from the west, so he has taken away our transgression and brought us to himself as white as snow. Taking away the sins that were red like scarlet and turned us around to be a people acceptable in his presence. Friends, that is how we need to think. We need to think in the same way towards our enemies. Here we see that Christian general principle that if you have been forgiven, you need to know the importance of forgiveness. If God has been kind to you and showed you mercy, you need to know the principle of showing mercy to someone. Do not turn a deaf ear when your enemy needs something from you. When you hear a cry from your enemy, you don't turn a deaf ear. I want you to remind you of three things, three stories quickly. Remember the story of Abraham and Lot in Genesis chapter 13. The Bible tells us that Lot became unkind, if you may put it that way, to Abraham. He began to cheat Abraham of the land. And then they had to separate. That's what sin does. Separate people. Separate lovers. Separate married people. Sin does that. So Abraham and Lot had to separate. But what happened? When Lot was in trouble, who came for him? Abraham did not hold grudges. It was Abraham who went all the way to fight for Lot, his nephew. And Lot was saved. Is that not what Jesus has done for us? Is that not what we need to do? Remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was loved by his father, but was hated by his brothers. And consequently, they sold him to slavery. But when they did not have food, when their land was in famine, and there was nothing for them to eat, who gave them food? Joseph gave them food. But not only did he give them food, it was Joseph who forgave them their sin before they could even ask for forgiveness. That is the principle we're getting from the word of God. Remember the story of Stephen in Acts chapter number 7? He died praying for those who were stoning him. Will you do that? That is what Jesus is saying. Stephen died praying for the people who were stoning him. Lord, forgive them. I see heavens open and the Son of God seated at the right hand of God. Jesus himself, as I was saying, died praying for his enemies. So in the same way God wants us to be, in the same way God has come to overcome our hatred towards him by showing us mercy. God showed us mercy to overcome our hatred towards him, to win us to himself despite our past sin. Some of you, I don't know at all, but some of you have suffered under apartheid, under the hand of apartheid. Some, not all, white people mistreated you, maybe in the kitchen, maybe in the garden. But that does not mean now is the time to revenge. We
must be kind. We must show Christ-likeness. We must judge things in accordance to how God will judge us. Love and care for people. Love and care for people. Give to your enemy like sisters and brothers will give to each other. Let me close like this. I'm repeating myself. Only the government is allowed to exercise force when combating evil. The individual people have no right to exercise personal vengeance. Only the government is given right by God. Should a person sin against you, should a person harm you, act evil against you, do not take the law into your own hands. Do not act like God. God alone has the right to exercise justice. He has the right also to determine the verdict. We are not the people who must determine the verdict and the judgment. He must be stoned, then we stone. No, we don't determine a verdict and judgment. God determines verdict and judgment. Two wrongs never make one right. Rather, show Christ-likeness. Show mercy. Show kindness towards your enemy without being a human punching bag. Show kindness. Act wisely. Remember, self-defense is not wrong. Revenge is wrong. So, in other words, let us not be hypocrites. Don't help someone just because you want to look good. Help someone because it comes from the heart. Listen to what Jesus said about himself in Isaiah 50 verse 6 as I'm coming to prayer. He said, I gave my back to those who strike and my cheek to those who pull out my beard. I hid not my face. I did not hide my face from disgrace and spitting. That is Jesus Christ, friends. So church, take this with you. Do not avenge yourself under any circumstance. Fire does not extinguish fire. That is not the way of righteousness. Do not dance around when you see your enemy in trouble. Do not dance around when you see your enemy begging for food. Remember, you cannot teach people to do good when you yourself does what is wrong. Do in accordance to the will of God. I hope you can process that in your mind until we see each other again. And I will miss you. Pray for me. I'll be gone for 2 weeks to Zambia, as my friend was saying. But may the Lord be with you. Let's pray. So we thank you, O Lord.